Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Happy Friday, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and we are glad to be with you live right here on KFH. Right here on Facebook, on YouTube and X, of course, on 12 News Connected, right here on the Odyssey app, all the different ways that you take in the show. We appreciate it. Glad to have you here with us. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, Jad Chambers producing. He's got hold of that IHOP hotline for you, which is wide open until 10 o'clock. You can find all your IHOP house faves right now there. All your favorites, just $6 Monday through Friday. With Thursday Night Football, highly entertaining, as we hoped. Very interesting game to look at. Another controversial ending to a Thursday Night Football game, which is too bad after a game like that, but it is what it is. And, you know, implications certainly in the AFC playoff chase. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Happy Friday. Good to see you today. It was a fun Thursday Night Football game last night. A good appetizer. It set the table for what should be a really good weekend of both college football and NFL football. And we've got a huge blue blood college basketball matchup tonight with KU. So there's a lot to get to today.
Which will be exciting. I don't know anything about North Carolina, except that they're supposed to be good. But we're going to get a good test, certainly better than Howard for KU tonight. So we'll get into that a little bit later as well. Maybe some bets on that game that are available and out there, probably more so now than there were in the first week. Tommy, it was just a wildly entertaining game last night as we begin with Thursday Night Football. Wildly entertaining. I don't know what to take more away from the fact that the Ravens do, to me, feel vulnerable, or the Bengals maybe let it all slip away when they certainly should have won that game, or again, two blown calls on a two-point conversion or a final play of a Thursday Night Football game. Like, first and foremost, NFL, figure that out. Like, get a system where you can buzz down and be like, yo, there was a face mask on that play. We saw it. You missed it. Throw the flag. The hold, maybe that's a little more debatable, although nobody on the planet doesn't think that was a hold. But the face mask, you can't. They missed two face masks on that drive. Two of them. How does that happen? That's what happened in the Rams-Vikings game. Like, we can't be missing those calls on those plays. Just buzz down and tell them. I don't understand that. I hate that keeps happening. Al Michaels frustrated during the game, and he never holds back. But come on, NFL, you got a primetime game like that. You can't let that happen.
There's really something very easy and simple to take away from the game last night. The Ravens are 7-3, and the Bengals are 4-6. That's just the bottom line at the end of the day. And you know what? I love how the very first thing you say is that the Ravens are vulnerable. They won the game, and they came from behind. They were down 14, and they scored 21 unanswered points and, you know, ultimately got the job done. Now, I know that there were calls at the end. I know, like, I watched it. I understand all of that. I don't disagree with you. But we always say, and everybody always says, you are what your record says that you are. And the Bengals couldn't afford to fall to 4-6. They needed to get back to 500. They weren't able to do that, weren't able to get that done. The Ravens, yeah, they've got flaws and deficiencies, but they just absolutely overpower their opponents, and it can pile up on you pretty quick. And that's what happened to the Bengals last night. They looked in control of the game early on, and then all of a sudden, here comes Lamar. The passing game was, you know, really solid in the second half for the Ravens. Derrick Henry added, you know, what he does for sure. And the Ravens showed why they, again, are the class of the AFC.
They're not the class of the AFC.
They 100% are the class of the AFC. Okay, the Chiefs and the Ravens are the class of the AFC.
Like, and they're not the class of the AFC.
Yes, they are.
The Bills either. Why are they the class over the Bills?
I didn't say they're over the Bills, but what I'm saying is that they showed why they absolutely, and I said that they were going to do this going into the game last night, that they were going to show why they are probably, at least they feel like they are the biggest threat to the Chiefs, for the Chiefs to three-peat for a third Super Bowl in a row. And I believe that they did that last night.
Yeah, I don't think they're the biggest threat. I think you can't.
They absolutely are the biggest threat.
Their defense isn't very good, and that's the problem for me. They gave up 34 points last night. They gave up 24 points to the Browns. They gave up 26 points to the Raiders.
And how many points do they put up on the board every single week?
To the Cowboys.
They had 7 points at halftime, and they finished with 35.
I agree. Their offense is great. but their defense is terrible. And so, like, that's a major flaw and a major deficiency on a team that wants to win.
I don't want to say that their I don't think their defense is horrible. I think their defense is opportunistic. I think where their defense can actually, you know, come in and bail them out is when they can force turnovers. And they did that to the Bengals last night. And so I think that that's, yeah, like, you know, snap in and snap out, down in and down out. They're not a great defense. But when they can force turnovers and be opportunistic, that's where they can then go and support and help out that fantastic offense that Baltimore has.
Well, statistically speaking, and I know they played last night, but even if you took last night's game away, they've given up more yards than any team in football. They have allowed more touchdowns, and they would be tied, if not for last night, than any team in football. So they're not just kind of bad defensively. They're one of the worst defensive teams in football, like by any metric that you look at. So that's a flaw. And I think it was shown again last night when a team puts up 34 points. When they get to the postseason, they're going to have to be playing. And they made a trade. They brought in Tre'Davious White. Maybe that helps long term. They brought it. They brought in Preston Smith too, right? So they made some moves to try and get better defensively, but it's a flawed team.
It 100% is a flawed team, but it's inaccurate for you to say that by every single metric, they are a bad defense. When you combine what they're doing and forcing turnovers compared to the offense's lack of propensity to turn the ball over, they're in the top 10 in turnover differential this year in the league. They're forcing turnovers. You have to give them credit for that. It's not just that, yeah, they're giving up a bunch. And I just said that. They give up a bunch of yards. They give up a bunch of points. But when that defense can be opportunistic and force takeaways, that absolutely helps prop up the defense from top to bottom.
They're a good run defense. I will give them credit there. But they better be a lot better defensively than they've been so far, or they're not going to win a Super Bowl. It's not going to happen. You can't. When was the last time we saw a defense that bad win a Super Bowl?
Man, it's been a few years. It's been a few years.
I can't think of one. And so, like, they better figure that out. Cincinnati screwed their season up. Like, they're I don't want to say they're toast yet.
They are toast. They've been toast all along. When we started talking Thursday Night Football was that you were going to completely run down the Ravens winning the game, but you were still going to talk about how the Bengals have a chance. Like, that's not the narrative coming out of this game.
And Tommy, like, if you believe in Indianapolis and Denver as much as you do, I'm happy for you. Do you think that Denver's going to win this weekend?
No, I don't think Denver's going to win this
weekend. Okay, well then Cincinnati's going to be a game behind Denver and likely have the same record as Indianapolis. They have to be the best of those three teams. You're so happy to come in and dunk on Cincinnati, and I'm happy for you there. They just blew that game.
They did.
They blew the game.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't understand why you hate Cincinnati so much.
It's not about me hating Cincinnati. That game last night played out exactly the way that I thought that game would play out. And I felt like going into the game, and I even said this on the show yesterday, that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase can't do it all. They're fantastic players. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase showed out again. Joe Burrow has, you know, said on the record that he feels like he's playing the best football of his career. And I think he is. I mean, he's very quietly under the radar, putting up tons of stats, doing fantastic things. But those two cannot do it all. And last night was a prime example of that. I said that yesterday on the show that, you know, you cannot sum up a team solely based on two players. You can't say that, well, the Bengals are, you know, they're super dangerous and they're going to be a threat and blah, 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 when you've got just two guys that are balling out and that's it, and nobody else is doing what they need to do to get the victory. And that's exactly what the Bengals are. They're wrapped up in that narrative whatsoever.
I agree. They're not good enough right now. The problem is, it's not a problem. The AFC reality is the two teams, the other teams vying for the last spot suck. And so, you know, it doesn't really matter, because I don't think a team that we've seen only their only wins this year that come against Carolina, the Giants, the Raiders, and the Browns, like, we don't need to think about them right now until the end of the year if they climb their way back in it. And I hope that they don't for the Chiefs.
And I know that, like, you know, week in and week out, it doesn't matter what the Bengals' record has been. They were what? They started at 0-3 or whatever they were to start off the year. And week in and week out, you know, you came in here and you're like, watch out for the Bengals. 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 Are you willing to put money on them making the playoffs right now? Do you think they will make the playoffs?
Yeah, I thought about that bet last night, and I didn't look at the odds. Here's the thing with Cincinnati for me. Now their road to get there is so long. I'll say it again: the two teams they're competing with, I think they are better than. But yeah, I would like to, for the Chiefs' sake. That's the team I don't want in there. That's the team that the Chiefs, you know, at home barely beat. That's the team that's taken the Ravens. Just hang on. That's a team that took the Ravens to overtime, should have taken the Ravens to overtime at minimum last night.
And what's their record in those three games? They're 0-3. The Ravens swept them and the Chiefs beat them.
I totally get it. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is they're a better team than Indianapolis and they're a better team than Denver. Kansas City will beat Denver by more than 1 point. What happened when the Ravens played Denver last week? What happened in that game?
The Ravens blew them out. The Ravens absolutely wiped the floor with them.
That's all I'm saying.
But I know that you are putting, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I know that you're putting the Bengals up on this pedestal over Indianapolis and Denver solely because of Joe Burrow, right?
Absolutely. Not solely, but mostly, yes. Okay. Absolutely.
So Joe Burrow has started every single game for the Bengals this year, right? They played 10 games. They're 4-6. And in those marquee matchups, they've been swept by the Ravens and the Chiefs beat them. And, you know, at the end of the day, that is what it is. And that game against the Chiefs, that was inside Arrowhead, right? Like, and so those things happened. And I'm not trying to downgrade Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. I think that he's immensely talented. But there are so many other factors and components into the overall success of a team. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs, for example, and just their overall defense and what they do defensively. Like, there are so many other things that go into it where, like I said before, it can't just be Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and you call it good. And that's what the Bengals have banked on this entire year. Now, I will say, the Bengals better get Ja'Marr Chase signed. They better just offer him a blank check, whatever he wants, and lock him back in, because the worst thing that could happen to that franchise is to let him walk. And I know they've got salary cap issues. It's probably going to result in Joe Burrow needing to restructure his contract. I hope Burrow is willing to do that and sees the greater good in restructuring his contract so they can get Ja'Marr Chase signed. Because yeah, like those are the fundamentals of the team. Those are the cornerstones of the team. It's not unlike Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Like, the Bengals have to have those two, but they also can't just have those two. They've got to continue to build on that and have, you know, like the better supporting cast around them if they want to get back to where they need to be. And I just don't think the Bengals have that right now.
They don't have it right now. You're misconstruing what I'm saying. Do you know who the odds on favorite of those three teams right now to make the
postseason
I'm sure it's the Bengals. So why do you act like I'm so crazy for saying they're better than Denver and they're better than Indianapolis?
I'm not saying that you're crazy by thinking they're better than those two teams. What I'm saying at the end of the day is that, yeah, like they do still have a path, and they do, you know, probably from a talent perspective, because of how high, you know, the top level of their talent is with Burrow and Chase, that, yeah, like Burrow's better than Bo Nix, Burrow's better than Joe Flacco, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is better than the receivers that those two teams have. But it's not like those two teams are slouches either, really. Like, I mean, look at, you know, Jonathan Taylor, you know, is still there, I believe, for the Colts. Like, they have weapons for sure. I like Denver's defense, although it wasn't good against the Ravens. And I think that gives a lot more credibility to what I'm saying about Baltimore. Because, yeah, while Baltimore, their defense overall is not very good, they only allowed 10 points against Denver last week. So I do think that, like, that those two teams do have talent, and they are where they are for a reason. I don't think that, even especially after last night, that I'm even entertaining the thought of how threatening could the Bengals be in the playoffs if they play the Chiefs. Because as you just said a couple of minutes ago, the road to get there is really long for Cincinnati. Is it impossible for them to get there? No, it's not impossible. They certainly can. But I don't even think that, like, I don't have any interest in even having a conversation about what Cincinnati could do in the playoffs right now.
like the counter to the Bengals' path right now is they haven't finished or won any games against good teams, and they play a lot of good teams down the stretch. That's why their road is long. That's why at plus 125, which is all the odds you can get on that bet, by the way, I'm not making that bet. The odds are long because they can't figure out a way to beat these good teams, and they play a lot of good teams down the stretch. The other problem for me is, though,
playoffs too, and they can't figure them out.
I really don't think that Indianapolis and Denver are legitimately good teams. I just don't. And so I'm leaving that alone basically for now. Here's somebody that's going, I'll bet, and this is a great caller to the show, Virgil. Virgil, we haven't heard from him from a long time on the IHOP hotline. Big Ravens fan. Maybe going to have an offense here to my claim that the Ravens have a really bad defense. Virgil, what's up, man? Been a long time. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good. You're right. They got the worst defense I've ever seen the Ravens have, pass defense, and they're making some really average quarterbacks look good. So the really good quarterbacks are going to tear them up. But that being said, this is the best offense I've ever seen the Ravens have.
I'm historically, it might be the best ever. It's on that trajectory.
Yeah. I've crossed over to the dark side. I'm an offensive guy now. After 20 some years of relying on the defense, we finally have an offense. But I'm going to take one exception to something you said about Buffalo being better than us. I believe they played about a month ago and we beat them by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I didn't. That's not what I meant to say. I said we can't definitively say they're ahead of Buffalo. But you're right. They did beat Buffalo head to head.
Yeah, they only beat him. That's the only quarterback that's the only quarterback that hadn't done anything against that defense was Josh Allen. It's crazy. You'd think he would tear him up, but it's just it's going to come down to matchups against the Ravens. Denver, bad matchup. They don't have a seasoned quarterback. They rely a lot on the run game, so that was going to be a tough game for Denver to have any success at. But if your strength isn't throwing the ball, you're not going to have a lot of luck against the Ravens. But if you've got any kind of weapons on the – like, Jamar Chase just kills us.
Yep.
I mean, fantasy-wise, he was in my starting lineup last night in two leagues, and he was also on a few prop bets, you know, because I know what's going to happen when that guy gets on the field against the Ravens. But you got to give Lamar his props. He's 9-1 against the Bengals.
Incredible.
9-1. Against arguably the second best team in the division.
He's kind of that way against every AFC team, Virgil. Like, it's the NFC where he has some struggles, that's what he does against everyone. Lamar Jackson is criminal underrated.
Yeah, he doesn't struggle against the NFC. He's only lost one game ever to the NFC. He's 23-1 against the NFC. That's why we need to get to the Super Bowl.
Well, can I,
it's covering the number. You're right, Virgil. Yeah. It's covering the number that I'm thinking of.
Here's my thought, too, is that there are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that when they're down by 2 touchdowns in the second half, just pack it up and head home. Like, it's not going to happen. They're not going to be able to come back. And here comes Lamar, and they score 21 unanswered to take the lead and then ultimately pull it out.
Well, 2 or 3 years ago, that was the Ravens. If you got them down, you took them out of their run game, and they didn't have an answer. But this team has answers. I mean, I was a little nervous the way the game started last night, but I thought, you know, this offense will get rolling eventually. And I didn't really like the signing of Deontay Johnson just because I don't think he brings a whole lot to him. I mean, I was fine with the offensive weapons they have. I would have liked to got another defensive back. We'll see how Tre'Davious White does. He didn't play last night. Maybe he'll bring something to the defensive secondary. But I don't see a path where it's not Kansas City and Baltimore playing again. I know you like the Steelers. I will throw out one caveat about the Steelers. They're playing a last place schedule.
Yeah.
Which their schedule gets a lot tougher now. They got to play the Ravens twice. They got to play the Bengals twice.
We'll learn about them Kansas for City. Sure. Like they'll play heads up. Virgil, it's really good to hear from you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you. I don't get a chance to call in as much, but I'm always listening. So you guys do a great job. I appreciate you guys talking sports. It's awesome.
Thanks, Virgil. Lamar Jackson never gets enough credit, and I know he won the MVP. He gets enough credit within the league. I don't think he gets enough credit from the outside just to how good he is. I mean, they are putting together an offensive season.
They are.
That rivals any we have ever seen, ever.
They are.
And that's crazy. Here's what I would say to you, though, Tommy. Would you ha- have any concern had they given up that 2-point conversion and lost that game last night?
No.
Big picture with them.
No, I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
I want to go back to something that you mentioned. Now, I get the Denver argument, and Indianapolis for sure has flaws. But for a defense that I know you say is one of the worst in the NFL, they've got the fourth best rushing defense in the National Football League, the Ravens
yeah.
do. Right?
Which I said, by the way. I said they have one of the best run defenses.
You know, so, yeah, like overall, yeah, they give up a bunch of yards. You can carve them up through the air. Jamar Chase proved that last night. They've got the fourth best run defense in the National Football League. So it's just not their historic offensively and then really terrible. Like, they can't do any. They can't stop anybody. They can't do anything defensively. They can stop the run. And, you know, especially in a game where teams want to slow down the pace of the game and keep the ball out of Lamar's hands, their rush defense should keep them from doing that.
Yeah, it's look, outside of Cincinnati this year, and I believe that's in Vegas, I guess, who hasn't played. No, Vegas has the same number of games played. No, they're one behind. So we'll call it the third or fourth most points allowed per game this year in the NFL. They're going to have to get that better because they are likely going to play two, if not three, great quarterbacks in the postseason. Whether it's, you know, Allen, who I know they had success against earlier in the year, but it's either Mahomes or it's Allen or maybe it's CJ Stroud. You know, when they get to that point, like, they're going to have to be better against the pass when push. And they made moves at the deadline. That's the other thing about the AFC right now. Every contending team made moves at the deadline. So what we see now is probably not going to be the same as what we see in week 14, 15, 16. Every team, every contending team made moves. It's wild. It's wild. Fun offense to watch. Fun game last night. Hope everybody made money last night. It was a great money-making game for all the parlays, same game parlays and all that. So hopefully you were able to capitalize on that. When we come back, we got to talk a little college hoops tonight. You kidding me with this game, KU? North Carolina's second game of the year? Bring it on. We'll preview it next on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here on KFH with a cup of coffee each and every morning. And a reminder, Crestview Country Club, who supports the program, has a lot going on in November, including opportunities for Thanksgiving. If you're like me, don't have family in the area, you can head up there and have brunch, or you can get some Thanksgiving to go home with you and finish cooking it. It is something we've done for the last 3 years, and you can get in on that stuff without, you know, full memberships that include golf and everything else. You can get social memberships that have all that. Give Crestview a call, ask them about all that, tell them we sent you. We appreciate their support. Tommy, I'm struggling on Kansas Carolina tonight. I'd like to bet it. The line right now is 7.5. The over under is 160. My gut says take the under. If I had to take a line, I'd probably take Kansas, but I don't love it. And man, I got to tell you, and it's early in the college basketball season, so we're not going to have a ton of them, but I don't like any of the player props either. At least the odds you can get on them. It really, as far as like offensive props, the only thing I'm really seeing are DeJuan Harris, Coit, and Dickinson. And the odds on what you might get them at are not good. Threes, Coit's the only opportunity. The odds you can get on those aren't good. So I don't have a lot of advice for people as far as betting. Good luck, I guess. If you want to put a little, the only thing I kind of like is the under this early in the season. But again, early in the season, sometimes the defenses are behind. So I really don't know. I will say that I like Kansas in the game at home for sure, but I got to be honest with you. Like, I don't know much about North Carolina and what they've done in the offs. Obviously, RJ Davis is still there, but other than that, it's kind of an unknown for me with that team.
I kind of like the over, actually. I'm going to disagree with you on that because, you know, I feel like with both of these teams, and we saw this with Kansas in their opener, and I know, again, it's Howard and you know, it's a different kind of opponent that they're playing tonight in North Carolina, but there's a clear path to points that Kansas has. Like, it's not like you're going to be searching for where is scoring going to come from with the Jayhawks. They have multiple weapons offensively to be able to score. And then same thing with Carolina. Like, they both – They both have a clear path to points, and it's R.J. Davis, you know, for sure, with North Carolina. The other thing about both of these teams that, you know, this has kind of been a calling card for North Carolina in the last couple of years with R.J. Davis, but then also with Kansas and the way that, you know, they've got some of these scores is they both want to play fast. Like, I would imagine that you're going to see both of these teams up and down the floor pretty quickly. And if both of these teams, or even if just one of them scores, you know, with any kind of efficiency, then I think you're going to see a pretty high scoring game back and forth. It wouldn't surprise me one bit to see this game be 90-82 victory for Kansas or something like that.
What each of them scored.
Yeah, like I think that we'd be seeing something like that, you know, with both of these teams, because while, you know, for sure defense is absolutely essential for Bill Self, and I know for Hubert Davis as well, it's still, like you mentioned, early enough in the season that that sort of thing may take a few games to sort of lock in. I just think the hype is going to be there. The juice is going to be inside Allen Fieldhouse. I would expect a high-scoring game.
I think defense will matter more to Kansas by the end of the year. North Carolina scored 90 in their opener. So, yes, based on what they did in their openers, I'm not, like, screaming from the rooftops, hey, everybody, take the under by any means. The only thing that gives me some pause with a bet that puts essentially both teams into the 80s or the upper 70s, and this will be interesting to watch for Kansas, and probably the most interesting thing for me is how quickly can their defense be good? Because they do return Dickinson, Harris, and Adams. Three good defensive players, right? 60% of that starting lineup, there are good defensive players in our back. So how quickly, I would imagine that, you know, as we see Bill Self teams typically by the end of seasons become one of the best defensive teams in the country, this should be a year where Kansas can get to that a little quicker than normal because they brought so much back. What I don't know is how good of a defender Coit is, right? Can Ryland Griffin play that level of defense? Is Zeke Mayo going to be a problem defensively? I would imagine that none of those things are true, but Flory Badunga can be good defensively just because he's such an athlete. He'll probably be a foul problem early in the season. So we'll see. I think, like, for me, that's what I'm watching probably as much as anything else for Kansas early in the year, because we know the offense can run through Hunter Dickinson, right? There's no question about that. We know they want Coit and Mayo to shoot threes better than what they got last year. Like, we already know those things. So defensively, and I think this could really work to Kansas' advantage early in the year, I do think they could be ahead of schedule just because of what they brought back.
Yeah, I think that there are two things that I'm going to really be focused on in tonight's game. Number one is what kind of production can they get out of Hunter Dickinson? Because the one thing that North Carolina really struggled with in their opener against Elon was, number one, scoring in the paint. So they had a hard time with that. And then number two was rebounds. They basically played Elon to a draw on, you know, overall rebounds. And so if Dickinson, you're obviously stepping up the level of competition tonight. If North Carolina can't figure out a way to, number one, score in the paint, and number two, be able to be more effective in grabbing rebounds, then this is going to be a game that you would think Hunter Dickinson could potentially dominate on both ends of the court. Number two, the other thing I'm looking at is that it was kind of a little bit of a, I guess call it a surprise, if you will, you know, that you had David Coit starting the opener for the Jayhawks instead of Zeke Mayo or AJ Storr. And because that was not, I think, anything that was really in anybody's mindset going into the game. Again, it's going to be a step up in the level of competition tonight against North Carolina. I think this is a big litmus test for Coit to see if he can play against that level of competition, or if we'll eventually see either Mayo or Storr sort of work their way back into the starting lineup.
But, you know, don't you think Coit earned it through the exhibitions? Like, I am way surprised, because I really, like, until we saw some exhibition games, I was like, who's David Coit? I don't remember him and all. But I think he's earned it.
Well, I think it's a combination. I think that he earned it, but then I also think that, you know, especially like AJ Storr, Bill Self has been on the record multiple times talking about how, you know, Storr, he isn't quite sure how he fits into the system yet. And that was a prized transfer out of the portal.
Yep.
there's always at least one guy that is in Bill Self's doghouse at any given time. And right now it's AJ Storr. Doesn't mean that he'll always be in the doghouse. There are multiple examples of players that have worked their way back out and had a ton of success. But at least right now, you know, I think that Coit earned it, number one. But then I also think it was also due to, you know, maybe Mayo and Storr not really impressing Self all that much throughout the exhibition games.
Coit will be fun. One, he's got a great nickname, Diggy, that will be fun to follow. But look, this is one of the things that I love about the transfer portal. Love about the transfer portal is Coit didn't have the hype because he came from Northern Illinois. But we're going to say, and we have, like, the players that excel at that rung going up to the next level and finding success is going to be one of the best things that happens long term with the portal, because we'll see stars be made that we didn't know could be stars. And maybe Coit is that for this team. On paper, he does a lot of the things they desperately needed last year that they couldn't find. So, you know, fit-wise, it could be that he just earns that spot and some of these other guys provide depth. I think another thing to watch tonight will be, you know, does the bench shrink up at all for Bill Self tonight? I think it probably will. And then what does that look like sort out the minutes?
I'm not sure that the bench can really shrink up any more than it already has. I mean, you know, we know that El Marco Jackson is out for the year. We know that, you know, McDowell is redshirting. Shaquille Moore set out the opener with an injury. I don't know what his status is. It's that vaunted depth that we went into the season thinking about is still there, but it's not as deep as it maybe was a couple of weeks ago.
But with those three, and I know there's a big debate among KU fans on whether KJ Adams needs to be in the starting lineup and all that. I go back to the old Greg Marshall stuff. Doesn't really matter if you start or you don't start. How many minutes are you playing, right? Like, are they really, by the end of this thing, going to be running 10 deep, though? That's not. Also not really Probably self-like. Not. But so that's what I wonder. Like, how does that – because when we initially thought about all this, if Badunga is a key contributor, and clearly he looks like he might be, right, or probably should be, and then Coit is taking on a bigger role than we thought, there will be an interesting look at how that all shakes out if we assume Hunter Dickinson and DeJuan Harris are going to play as many minutes as they can play, as they always do. That leaves those three spots really with eight guys to fill them. And so I do – and look, I think it's also really interesting to see if they all are playing well – maybe KU becomes this team that can just run at you so much because they have so many guys they can rotate in there. That's fantastic. That's also, we see that path work in college basketball, by the way, all the time. Teams that are super deep, that just keep that energy the whole time. Discrediting my under 160 tonight, by the way. But that could also be something that we see that we're not used to seeing with KU, partly because they haven't had, you know, that many guys as in last year, and partly because Bill Self, typically by the time some of his best teams get there, they do shrink it down to about eight guys that are in the rotation. But if you think that's going to happen this year, who are the odd men out? That becomes the interesting part, and I wonder what that's like in the locker room right now. Do those guys see it that way? And, you know, some of these players that have transferred in, are they nervous at all about potentially not getting a ton of minutes?
Look at AJ Storr. Look at AJ. I mean, like, he was vaunted as a guy that would come in and make an immediate impact in the starting lineup for KU. At least in the opener, he didn't. He wasn't in the starting lineup. And I don't know what tonight's will look like. I don't know moving forward, you know, what that will be. But that tends to happen. And I think that's perfectly okay. Like, I think that, you know, having that level of competition internally, it can only just raise everybody's game, or at least weed out the ones that aren't able to get it done. So I'm totally okay with that. I think that this team, because of the way that it's constructed, really outside of Dickinson, you know, I take that back, because Dickinson can move. There are so many pieces on this team that can get up and down the court. You know, especially with the shooters and the playmakers, one of the biggest things that the Jayhawks lacked a year ago outside of depth was a playmaker, a shot maker, somebody that could go and create offensively. They didn't really have that a whole lot last year. They were missing the guy on the team, like an Ochai Agbaji, who could just go out and create offense for himself.
Right.
And they've got several guys who conceivably can do that this season, which again would lead me to believe that they want to be on the offensive side of the court as much as they possibly can. I think they're going to get up and down. I think they're going to play fast. They've got the personnel to do it. They've got the depth to do it. I would imagine that's the way that tonight will pan out.
Yeah, you're talking me out of my 160 and already put it in.
Can you cash out? I think you probably ought to cash out.
Well, I still think my thought on it is still good, is that they'll be ahead of the nation defensively early in the year. They are going to be a really fun and fascinating team to watch early in this season. And for all the best reasons, if you're a KU fan, right? Because they have more than enough of what they lacked last year. Now, how do they sort it out?
Right.
Leave that to Bill Self. And he always gets it sorted out.
Can I give you one other bet that I really like tonight? If you are looking at maybe wanting to do some kind of, I don't know, college hoops parlay, Kansas on the money line, I would include them in a parlay because they're not losing at home. They're playing North Carolina.
It's down at like minus 270.
Well, I get it, but if you build it into a parlay, if you've got several legs on that, they're not losing a game against North Carolina inside Allen Fieldhouse. It's not happening. So I would put that for sure in a parlay on the money line.
I don't have a problem with a minus 7.5, but I will fully 100% confess and admit that I don't know jack about North Carolina. So that is a totally biased take that I would not advise people to follow. Like, I don't know anything about. Yeah, I feel better about Kansas because I know a whole lot more about Kansas. 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. On the way out, let's give away some HTO here. All you got to do to win a free iced tea and a free iced or hot coffee from HTO, any of the three metro locations here in Wichita, is text the keyword tea, TEA, to the short code 20357. That's T to 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. Coming up in hour number two, we got picks. Lots of them to make. The full gang's in. We'll be back. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH, and we are glad to be with you on this Friday edition. KFH, your home for K-State Athletics on the radio. You can tune in tonight, 7 o'clock, for Wildcat Talk on the Jerome Tang Coaches Show. Download the free Odyssey app, search for KFH. Tonight, Tommy, my plans have changed on a Friday night. They're calling in the old guy for some high school football coverage.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I know that we had kind of talked a little bit about what tonight looked like, because I'm kid free. I might go watch the basketball game somewhere. My wife and so. Tell me what your high school football coverage is going to look like first. Then I'll tell you my
story. I'm going to go do whatever they tell me to.
Okay.
So I'll be in there. I think with
you don't
Brandon.
Have to go to a game. Like, you don't have to go and like cover a game or anything.
They're calling me. TJ is out of town. Is going to be out of town. We'll have his picks.
Okay.
He won't be here for him. So it's the playoffs. I needed a little help. We've had all these scheduling changes, so the staff has been, you know, running out on a Thursday instead of a Friday doing all this. So I'm going to go in and see if I can remember what I did for 20 years before this year.
You're kind of like the Mariano Rivera getting called out of retirement. Like, they're going to the bullpen. They're like, hey, we need the closer to come in now.
They're the Chiefs wide receiver room. They're down to like the fifth stringer.
And you're DeAndre Hopkins basically for tonight.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll see if I'm DeAndre Hopkins or Sky Moore, I guess.
There you go.
But yeah, we'll be in there. So that'll be fun. Catch Kansas. I'll have you all covered.
Yeah.
But the biggest challenge will be, I have not spent a season with a lot of these kids' names. So let me tell you right now that I apologize if I get a name wrong tonight.
I was hoping that, you know, because I know we're going to talk some high school football in hour number two. I know TJ is not going to be with us. So I was hoping that you had just absorbed all the knowledge that he has and you were going to be able to, you know, really provide some good insight.
I didn't. This is the first year, and I'm not, it's the first year. It's not quite 20 years, but it's like 18 or 19 that I have not been covering high school football on a Friday.
Yeah.
It's been that long. Even when I was here and I stepped away from sports and went exclusively news, when that happened for like a year and a half, 2 years, I was still doing high school football with them. So like, it's been strange this year to not do that on a Friday night. I haven't had Friday nights in the fall in forever.
I mean, look at how just versatile you are. You're on the big board for the presidential election on Tuesday. Then you're doing high school football on a Friday. Pretty soon you're going to be doing like a cooking segment on the morning
everyone,
show.
They always joke with me like, well, when are you going to do the weather? And I'm like, well, do I strike you as a scientist? I'm not just some pretty face out in LA that does the weather looking good. Like, you actually kind of have to, you know, be well versed in that stuff. I could have told you today that it was going to rain, though.
Well, there you go.
As it is.
Can I tell you real quick? So tonight, my wife and my sons have a mother-son Nerf gun battle at our church, which sounds incredible. And I'm jealous that it's only mother son because I would love to do a Nerf gun battle with my boys, but I'm like wife and kid free tonight. So I may go to a bar and watch the KU game and drink a beer, maybe eat some wings. I may just be by myself, and that's okay. I'm good with that. Although I wish I was doing a Nerf gun fight.
And I still owe you a beer. It would have been a good opportunity to pay up. But I think that we got like birthday parties even before I have to go into work, but it's life with kids. I love it. And it's going to be gone and I'll be real sad. Quick side note. When we come back, we're going to make some football picks. We got 3 college games, 3 NFL games. Jad's got some receipts that apparently we do not want to hear about, but we will anyway, as we get you ready for a football weekend. We've got Brandon Zinner, Paul Savage joining us. It is Sports Daily. It's a Friday. TGIF, everyone. We'll be right back.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.